Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 9 again. And we're going to look at verse 1 through verse 27. We're not going to read it like we did in the last lesson. The last lesson, we read the chapter and we studied Samuel, the seer. And we saw some wonderful things about him. He was an honorable man, a truthful man, a circumspect man, faithful, providential, and he was a real preacher. Somebody who could really communicate the words of God. I mean, the true words of God, not talk about them, but tell you what God said. And when you look at Saul, it's hard to think about Saul, where he was at this time in his life, because you remember so many bad things about him when you think about Saul. You know how he treated David. You know how he lost the kingdom. You know how he disobeyed God. You know how he feared people. And so it's hard to think about Saul in the capacity that God saw him at this time. But we need to see it. We need to see what the Bible says about Saul at this point. Because, listen, God did not want to give Israel a king. He knew what a king over that country would do. Nevertheless, he chose a good man. Saul, at this time in his life, was a good man. And obviously, he turned out being a perfect type of the Antichrist by the time it was all over. But we want to look at these things about Saul because, listen, there are men who start out as king over Israel. When you read on down through Kings and Chronicles, they started out as good men. They relied upon the Lord. They were men of faith. They were humble. They turned out bad. You look in the New Testament, and there are men that started off well, and they turned out bad, like Demas. And you know something? There are people today who start off well, and they end up bad. And that ought to be noted by us. Because listen, the potential that we have with the Holy Spirit of God living in us, with Jesus Christ in us, with us in Jesus Christ, with the true words of God, things in our lives ought to turn out right and ought to get better, and righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, ought to become more apparent with time, not less apparent. But it doesn't always work out that way. Get off to a good start, end up bad. And we ought to take note of the good things that Saul had in his life, because you'll see that God has put some good things in you, and if you start off well, you want to finish well. I've got a good friend of mine, and he said that his objective in the ministry is, number one, he wants to finish. Paul did. And then he said, I want to finish clean. And then he said, I want to finish with joy. Well, you know something? You got to stay with it. Paul actually started out well. Saul actually started out well. He was a good man. Notice some of the advantages that Saul had getting started as the first king of Israel. Number one, he had a good heritage. Look again in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechoroth, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite. Watch it, a mighty man of power. A mighty man of power. Listen, Saul started out with a good heritage. You see, that mighty man of power indicates a blessing of God on that man's life. In the Old Testament, when God had favor toward a man, he blessed him financially. Look at Job. Look at Abraham. Even look at Lot. Lot was a righteous man. He vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their ungodliness in Sodom and Gomorrah. But God blessed him. Isaac increased 100-fold in 1 year when he was with Abimelech. Phenomenal blessing of God on his life. Look at David. Look at Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom and understanding, and God blessed him and gave him that wisdom and understanding and riches so that he became, you know, the number one king in the area. This man Kish, Saul's father, was a mighty man of power. That's a good thing. Listen, if you start off with a good heritage, you have an advantage over somebody else who doesn't start off with a good heritage. That ought to give you a running start. I realize that there are people who start off and really the heritage is not good. The home life wasn't good. Dad didn't amount to much. Mom and dad's relationship was unstable. Perhaps there was some unfaithfulness in the family. That's not an excuse for you not to turn out well. You know that. I realize that there are some difficulties, but there are a lot of people who have survived those difficulties, and they turned out real well. But I'll tell you, when a man starts off with a good heritage, he has all the more reason. He has an advantage. He has all the more reason to do well. And Saul was a good man. He started out with a good heritage, having a mighty man of power for a father. But that's not all. Not only was Saul a good man in that he had a good heritage, but he also had a good character. Look at verse 2. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people. So physically he had a stature that was commanding. I remember when I was a little kid, my father was acquainted with John Conley, and he'd come to our house, and I got a chance to meet him. And I can remember when he walked in the door, there was an aura about the man, and he was also a sizable man in my impressionable young age. I can remember being in Houston one time and having lunch at an oyster bar, and Percy Forman walked in the door. And when he did, there was a certain aura, a certain presence about him when he walked in. And to me, I realized that he only had a certain stature, but he seemed to fill the door, seemed to captivate the attention of the people when he walked in the room. There are other people like that. Those are just happen to be a couple that I've met. I've heard many other people talk about the people that they've met, that certain aura, that certain captivating thing about their stature, that certain size, that certain commanding presence, that certain ability to turn the head. Saul was like that. And he was on top of that, not just having that presence, head and shoulders above the people. But he was a goodly person. There wasn't a goodlier person than he. Do you understand what an advantage that is to start out with that kind of character? We talk in the ministry about salvation and how great it is to see somebody come to the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior. Just love to see that when we preach. But I heard a man say one time, he said, you know, getting saved doesn't give you character. In other words, if you started out with a bad character and you get saved, you're going to be a saved man with a bad character unless you develop a good character. So it's a disadvantage to come with a bad character to salvation, because not only do you have to work on your spiritual growth, your sanctification, your consecration, but you also have to work on your character. Because it doesn't help to be a Christian with a bad character. But you take a fellow that starts out with a good character and gets saved, he's got an advantage. He still has to work on his sanctification. He still has to work on his consecration. He's still got to read his Bible and pray just like the next guy and fight with temptation, all that other stuff. But listen, the fact that he has a good character is going to benefit him. And this benefited Saul in the choice that God made for him to be the king of Israel. It helped that he was a goodlier person in Israel than anybody else. He was a good man. He had a good heritage. He had a good character. And then notice this, he had a good work ethic. Look in verses 3 through 5. The asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, "Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses." And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they found they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us." Listen, that was a diligent man. They actually worked until they ran out of food. He later says, "The bread is spent in our vessels, and there's not a present to bring to the man of God." I mean, we're out of food. We have worked for 3 solid days. We have looked all over. That's a diligent man. There are a lot of people that would be given that task, go out and maybe look for a day and come back and say, "Well, Dad, they weren't where they normally graze. I don't know where those things are." But Saul didn't do that. He went to Mount Ephraim. He went to Shalisha. He went to Shalem. He went through the land of the Benjamites. He came all the way to the land of Zuph. That dude was looking for what his father had lost. Carefully, diligently. And not only that, he was conscientious because he said, "You know, we've been out here 3 days looking for these animals. Dad's going to quit worrying about those animals and start worrying about us. We got to get home. And we can always come back and continue this job. We got to let him know where we are." That is a good work ethic. I mean, think about it. You gave your children a cell phone when maybe they were still in junior high school and expected them to use that cell phone to call you when anything ever came up where plans changed. They were supposed to come home at a certain hour, and for some reason something changed. They would call you and let you know, "Look, I'm still okay. I'm over here at such and such place. Such and such. Is it all right? May I have your permission to stay here? Do I need to come on home?" All that kind of stuff. You could hardly get your children to do that. They could text. You had to buy unlimited text minutes because they were texting all of their friends. Boy, they would use your cell phone for all of their personal communication desires, but then when it came for time for them to call you and ask permission for certain things or to tell you where they were or what time they were going to be home and all that stuff, you could hardly get them to do that. Do you remember those days? Saul wasn't like that. Saul had a good work ethic. He was a diligent man. He was a conscientious man. And I'm going to tell you something. When a person gets started in Christianity and they have a good work ethic, you know something? They amount to something. In the ministry, one of the greatest blessings that we have is Christians who have a good work ethic and get saved and decide they are going to serve the Lord with their spare time. You cannot imagine how much goes on in this ministry here that is accomplished by a small number of people who are ready at all times to do anything and everything that is needed to make this ministry work and to make this ministry work well. There are a lot of people that work in this ministry. Sunday school teachers, nursery workers, people that take care of the physical facility and people that just take care of all kinds of errands and put together lessons for teachers that when we have teachers meetings and take care of all kinds of other responsibilities and look after just thing after thing after thing. I don't even want to get started. Song leading, piano playing, all that other kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you, the people who do the best work in those jobs are the people who are conscientious and diligent and have a good work ethic. Listen, if you have a good work ethic when you get saved, you're going to amount to something if you will let the Lord use you. And you know what? If you get saved and you don't have a good work ethic, you've got an uphill battle the whole way. It's going to be hard for you to get to church on a regular basis. That's right. It's just going to be a fight for you all the time. Saul had a huge advantage being chosen by God to be the king of this country because he started out right. He had a good work ethic. A good character, a good heritage. But that's not all. He also had good respect. I mean, there's bad respect and there's good respect. Bad respect is where you have respect of persons, but it's always for whatever kind of advantage you can get out of them. It's always for whatever they can do for you. You want to be friends with that person who's got a lot of money, or that person because he's got a lot of influence, or that person because he's got a lot of connections. Saul wasn't like that. When it came an opportunity for Saul and his servant to inquire of Samuel, who might help direct them to where Kish is animals were. Saul said to his servant in verse 7, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there's not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we?" You say, what is that all about? Well, if you read 1 Kings 14:3, or 2 Kings 4:42, or 2 Kings 8:8, you're going to find, in every case, when somebody wanted to inquire the Lord by a prophet, they took something in the way of an offering. Okay? And in this case, he wanted to give a present to Samuel to reward him for giving them the advice from God, as he inquired of God, to help them on their way. And that is, I'm going to tell you, that is a good thing. That is a man that thinks, listen, I am not going to go to this fellow and expect him to give me something for free when he is going to inquire the Lord on our behalf. The least we can do is give him something for his effort. And in verse 8, the servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way." And when Saul considered it, verse 10, he said to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. He wasn't going to go unless he could give the man a present. Do you know something? Listen, that man, Saul, that is a good thing. There are so many people in the Bible who would just take advantage of that opportunity, would not even think twice about doing something for a person that was going to help him. Saul did. And that's a man that had the right kind of respect. It's not like you know, I'm just going to get this thing for free out of this man because he can help us. I feel like I owe him something, and I feel like he deserves it. In the New Testament, Paul is very clear about giving directions concerning men who labor in the Word of God and in the doctrine. He's very careful when he's training people that he's led to the Lord, you know, about their responsibility to take care of the man of God. He says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, he said, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." So he said, "Look, Timothy, I'm going to train you in this." Paul was very careful not to take that, particularly from the church of the Thessalonians, and particularly from the Corinthians, because he did not want them to misunderstand his purpose in ministering to them. He was very, very careful with those two congregations, but he willingly and gladly accepted from the Philippians. And so he says, you know, so people don't misunderstand this thing about the ministry. He said, "I want you to know that elders that rule well should be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." You see, Saul understood that. I realize I read something to you in the New Testament. Saul understood that. And that is an indication that Saul was a good man. And I keep emphasizing was, because things went badly down the road. I mean, after an evil spirit got in him, after he began to envy David, after he began to fear the people, I mean, his life became a wreck. He was a miserable man. But boy, he sure started out good. And I'll tell you something. While we're thinking about it, you may be a man that starts out well, and somebody may be getting ready to put you in some sort of a position of authority, or maybe you really want to be there. May I suggest something to you? It is not always what it appears to be. Say, well, I can make more money. You might. But you're also subject to more criticism. You also have to bear more responsibility. You also have to draw deeper on a supply and reserve of character to be able to handle the responsibilities and the stress that's associated with more responsibility. And I'll tell you what, a lot of men are not cut out, okay, to keep going up and up and up, whatever it may be, the corporate ladder or the area of responsibility or in the military or things like that. And I'll tell you, it looked like Saul had all the abilities that were going to be necessary to be king. But man, he had some character weaknesses that were exposed once he got under the pressure. But boy, he sure started out good. He was a man that had a good respect. And I'll tell you what, you can emulate that. You ought to have respect for the man of God that God uses to take care of you. I'll tell you something else that Saul had, which was a tremendous advantage. He had good humility. We're going to jump ahead a little bit. Saul approaches Samuel. Samuel says, listen, come eat with me. As for the asses that were lost 3 days ago, this is verse 20, set not thy mind on them, for they're found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is not on thee and on all thy father's house? And Saul hears these words of Samuel. He's like, what are you talking about? On whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on thy father's house? And Saul is very curious about the way that Samuel has certainly turned this conversation to a great compliment of Saul. And this was Saul's answer, and he was very sincere. Saul answered and said, in verse 21, am not I a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Do you see the humility in that? Listen, Benjamin was the smallest of the tribes of Israel. If you'll remember back to our study in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 20, verses 46 to 48, they lost all but 600 of their men after that tragic episode with protecting the perverts in their country. They should have let that deal. They should have never let that happen. So they got beat down to a very small number, and they were still at this time recovering from that beat down. And so he says, am I not a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? Yeah, that's true. I mean, Benjamin was the last brother born. My family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, my man, you know, my father may be a mighty man of power, as verse 1 said, but hey, we're still, I mean, as far as Benjamin is concerned, we're small fries here. Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? I'm going to tell you something. You listen to people today running for political office, and you would think they are God's gift to the universe sometimes. And I say that not out of disrespect. They're campaigning. They are trying to win an office by the things they say and the support they garner and the money they raise and all that other kind of stuff. But, you know, it is a flaw in our political system because it leaves no room for humility. Saul was sincere in this. And I'm going to tell you something. Had he maintained that humility throughout his reign, it would have served him well. He didn't. Many of the kings were plagued by being lifted up in pride. You know something? As you live as a Christian, you could be plagued by the same thing, by being lifted up in pride. I'm going to tell you something. Stay low, my friend. Stay low. That's the best way to stay out of the devil's crosshairs, is to lay low. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And then notice something else, finally, in verse 27 about Saul. Saul really was a good man. He had a good heritage, good character, good work ethic, good respect, good humility. And he also had this. He had good sense. Look at verse 27. The day is over. The next day has come. Samuel and his servant are on their way now to return to his father. And as they were going down, verse 27, to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us, and he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Now listen, he'd been gone for 3 days. Now the fourth, he was ready to get back. And Samuel said, hey, why don't you hang around here just a little bit? I got something I want to tell you from God. And he stopped. He let the servant pass on, and he stopped. He stood still to hear the word of God. You know something? That's a man with a lot of sense. A lot of sense. Because there are a lot of people who won't stand still to hear the word of God. Listen, the word of God is preached in your neighborhood oftentimes. You won't go down the street to go to church. You're listening to a message like this, and some text come in or some radio phone call comes in that really could wait 15 more minutes, and boy, you just flip it right off and go right to that thing, because you know something? You won't stand still long enough to hear the word of God. Saul did. As bad as it turned out for Saul, he had in his character that sense to know when God had something to say to him, he needed to listen. At least he started out that way. We were at the Junior Livestock Show and passing out tracts and talking to people about Jesus Christ. It's amazing how many people would not stop. They didn't have the sense to recognize that somebody was getting ready to show them something from the Word of God that could have changed their life eternally, and they walked on. That's a strange thing. That's a strange thing. You know what? That's not good. That's not good at all. You say, well, we weren't sure whether to trust you or not. Hey, man, it was such a low-pressure deal. Such a low-pressure deal. The problem is they didn't have sense. And a lot of people don't have sense to recognize when God has something to say to you, you need to stop, you need to listen, you need to get it in your head and in your heart, down into your very soul, and change your life. Saul was a good man, had a good heritage, good character, good work ethic, good respect, good humility, and good sense. Now I'm going to tell you something. All those other bad things that happened to Saul, you know something? You ought to pattern your life after the good start that he had and maintain these kind of things. You ought to provide a good heritage for your children if you didn't have one provided for you. And follow these other things. They are blessings. That's why God chose that man to lead his people. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Oh.